How much leftover stuff did you have when making the desk?
How much leftover pieces?
Yeah.
I had an extra screw and an extra washer.
Oh, no.
That's it?
Wow.
That's impressive.
That's all I had.
If I were you, I would have just drilled a hole and just put it in.
That's actually really impressive.
It took me two hours.
But think that you now lost a bunch of pieces.
Because
having an extra screw, one screw and one washer is rare.
IKEA always has extra stuff, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
I've never shopped at IKEA once in my
entire
life.
Dude, you should. What,
Nico, you can usually get two tables.
Are we going to have to get coasters now?
No, we're not.
I got a piece of paper.
You can usually get two tables for the price of one from IKEA.
What if I get three Star Wars in one Death Note coaster?
That's not even, like, fair. That's not even actually
it's
fair.
It's totally fair.
No, it's not.
It is totally fair to brand you.
Fine. What would your coaster be?
Game of Thrones, if anything. I don't think I like...
I know what my coaster
would I don't think I like Death Note nearly as much as you guys like Star Wars. That's not even close to fair.
Well, that's accurate.
That's very accurate.
You guys can take Star Wars. Just to thoroughly grind Nico's gears, I need a Blade Runner coaster.
Yeah, you need... Yeah. But it's,
I need the Blade...
2049. Okay.
It needs to be really big.
Yeah, it's
huge.
Three times
Adam, here's
big
the issue.
It
like
needs
5 hours
to
get it in here.
Adam, here's the issue. Is...
It lights up for no fucking reason.
No coaster company is going to make any profit on a Blade Runner coaster because nobody saw the fucking movie.
Oh, man. Yep. Just, yep.
So I don't think there are going to be any coasters for that one.
Was that always there?
And you think the coaster is special, but it turns out there's 1,000 other ones. That Jim Blade Runner coaster.
Blade Runner coaster, one of 1,000.
Yeah.
Blade Runner is so good.
Yeah.
Has that always been there?
So
no, this is brand spanking new.
Okay,
I was going to say, definitely.
This
good.
Was this Goodfellas poster here collecting dust in my uncle's basement, and I snatched
so
that up.
So it's not brand new.
Well, I mean,
it's new to you.
It has never been hung up before. Okay. It's never been mounted on a wall, and now here we go. Framed Goodfellas right there. I'm trying to select. What movies do you think we should put in here? Because I want,
Star
like,
Wars.
Five. All right, so with Star Wars, do we do Empire, I guess? Just the standard Empire?
Or do you do the original Star Wars.
No, I think
poster.
You do the worst one.
Attack of the Clones.
I'm not putting an Attack of the Clones poster on my wall.
Actually, you know what? I think
Phantom Menace.
Maybe the Christmas special.
No,
there's one good thing about Phantom Menace, and that's the pod racing.
Yeah.
That's
what's the one good thing about Attack of the Clones, though?
There's zero good things.
Natalie Portman?
Man, I suppose.
If we're measuring our enjoyment of the Star Wars films as our sexual attraction to Natalie Portman.
That's true.
Well, that's you liked Home Alone 4, didn't you?
No, I didn't. I didn't enjoy it at all. Actually, I didn't enjoy anything about that film. Okay, so
I actually might have a Star Wars poster we could put in here.
Okay, we can do that.
I gave it to my brother, and I could probably take it back.
A big one like that?
No, it's about half size, maybe.
Yeah.
But it's not,
Sean Connery.
It's also not in a frame.
Well,
it's like
not
a,
too bad.
It's like a print.
Actually,
on
no,
a
no,
wood
fuck it. No, it's staying
back.
Oh,
kind of
cool.
Or something.
Like
it's no, it's nice. It's nice.
Which Star Wars is it?
I got one for the prequels and one for the originals. And or me and my brother, between both of us, got one of each. I don't remember which one I had. And okay. He has both currently.
My brother wants some Liam Neeson representation in here. He wants either Taken or The Gray.
I don't
or...
think so. I think what you do is you get a cardboard cutout of Liam Neeson and just put it right there.
Okay,
the
that's totally cool.
Because you can't sum him up by one movie.
Pulp Fiction's too basic.
Yeah.
You don't want that.
I have Pulp Fiction.
Never.
It's not big, but it's like... It's
yeah.
Actually, there's a few... There's not many movie posters that I can think of, but there's like those infograph chart, like the pop culture ones.
Okay.
Oh.
That are pretty cool. Like there's one for all the Seinfeld characters and how they're connected and everything.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, there has to be a... No, you know what I do have? I have the George posing nude photo in like a giant poster blow up.
Don't you have...
My brother got
don't
that
you also
for
have
Christmas.
The Kramer painting?
Yeah,
or is that just the shirt?
I just have the shirt.
Oh, you need to get that.
I have the Kramer painting.
You have the Kramer painting?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'll go the George photo.
George
just
because
it's more shocking and disgusting.
Fair point. Fair. It's very fair.
That's a tremendous photo.
I like these lights we have. I mean,
yeah, and now
no,
they're gonna
we'll figure it out.
This one is pointed over here, so it's actually kind of well lit. We eventually we'll put some video cameras in.
I do think you're right about the window being in a horrible spot.
It's not good.
We can't do lighting here like that.
Well, we could attempt to do it
now. If none of this was here, and you want to do that wall.
Yeah.
And use this as a spot for your camera.
So here's what's happening.
You could actually make that work.
This is going to be boring podcast, but deal with it, people.
No. We're interesting.
We are getting rid of that credenza. Credenza?
His dad makes furniture, so...
No, he doesn't. This was not made by anybody.
But he does, so that's why you know these terms that are archaic and...
I guess. We're getting rid of that.
Credenza was something else.
No, it's...
Let's not tell the listeners what we're pointing to.
What is a credenza?
It's a credenza, Adam.
So,
leave it alone.
If you're in, like, a fancy office that some CEO has, and he has a desk right in front of him that he does work on...
Is that the thing
on,
right behind the desk?
The thing right behind...
With the big painting above it and
right,
shit?
Right, right. Okay. Yeah. So that should be turned around, and it should be parallel to one another. No purpose. Serves no purpose, which
together?
Is why we're getting rid of it. Yes.
You got those together.
They were given to us, yes. Oh, okay. But both are kind of annoying. So, we're getting rid of that. We're also getting rid of that dresser that is also a changing table. That's going out. We're going to take the desk. We're going to shove it in the corner so there's big open space. We're going to put another desk over there and perhaps a little couch.
Mm. I think you should make this into a panic room.
Where's the beanbag chair?
Good point.
We need the beanbag chair.
I should take the bungee cord chair and put it up here.
The spider chair?
Yeah, the spider chair. You know, that might be pretty good.
That's my gaming chair at home.
What is it, $40 at Target or $25?
Oh, it was like Black Friday. It was like $10.
Oh, $10.
They were giving them away.
Oh, I have one of those,
too. They
were
paying you to take them.
Yeah. I have one of those, too. They were my favorite.
Here's your chair.
Right.
And here's your $20.
So I think, I mean, if we... So can we put, like, just like a black...
You can get a giant black curtain.
I have a futon that I'm currently not using that works.
How big is it?
What does that have to do with the
curtains?
It's
about as wide as this desk.
Oh, that's perfect. That's a perfect size.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it would be good for in here. Because we're going to be in here a lot, I'm sure, doing random shit.
Another minor question is, where does the wall-mounted TV go? Because we're going to be watching in here.
Good
right?
Yeah. Point.
Is this now, that wall right there is at a 45-degree angle.
Yeah.
It's like a half wall, half ceiling. That would be perfect. Put it right up top.
Then we just lay on the ground.
You don't have to lay down.
It's like the dentist's office.
It'll be like that time we went to go see like Spider-Man or something.
Right.
And we're like laying on the ground in the front of the theater.
That was...
What movie? What,
you
what
laid
movie
on the
we,
ground?
Yeah, what movie did we go see?
That was James Bond 2 with Dino Craig.
I don't think it was called
Bond
James Bond 2.
I can't remember what
Quantum?
It was called. Quantum of Solace.
Quantum?
With Nick Farina and
Seth
Gavin.
Yeah, so we went and we were late.
Yeah.
So only the very front...
No, that's untrue.
No, I thought,
No.
We were really late.
There were seats. I walked in and sat on the ground in front of the screen, and you all just joined me, and we stayed there the whole movie.
And you did that because you were an angsty teenager with a lot of...
we had a lot of fun.
We did have a lot
of fun. I remember everyone in the theater laughing the entire time that we were just sitting there like that. Nobody cared. They were like, whatever. But they enjoyed it.
So it was like you were dreaming under the stars.
We had a good amount of stories like that. Like that woman who swore at us.
What?
Or me.
In the car,
in the
right?
Car.
And then you said,
yeah.
"You fuck your shitty with a Honda."
So yeah, Honda pulled up.
Fuck your
like,
shitty Honda,
piece of shit Honda. Mind you, it's like 30 degrees, and her windows were down. And she just leans out the window and goes, "Well, go fuck yourself, you little shit."
That is
stuff.
That is the perfect comeback.
It was good, yeah.
You remember those days where we used to, because we didn't have cars and it was too cold
to ride
our bikes.
We'd get dropped off like 45 minutes early.
You get dropped off at the movie theater early.
Yep.
And you just spend the whole night in that plaza.
Yep, you're stuck.
Yep, you just walk around until your parents pick you up.
That was every weekend.
That was in like middle school. And then like, you know, the movie ends and you're like, well, I don't want to go home yet. Let's go to Mickey D's and hang out there.
No, what you do is you go to the movies. You buy your ticket, then you go to Dick's and just use the putters.
That's right, yeah, you just hang out.
Yes!
Test putters.
You did that too?
Oh, yeah.
Everyone did. And then it's time to go to the movie, so you walk back, you get out, you go to McDonald's, have your parents pick you up.
Yeah.
Fucking plain.
AC Mall.
AC Mall. You're walking through AC Mall, all like the Kinect roller coasters they had going. And...
I mean, there was a charm to not being able to drive anywhere. There was like a resourcefulness and a hustle that you had to have in order to find a ride from one place to another.
I just miss the days of like, you do whatever you can to not be bored.
It's true. Bored is a
like,
great thing.
Now it's like, oh, I got my cell phone. I'll go play some Two Dots. You know, it's like...
I know.
Or like when we went on top of the that snowbank.
Yes.
By the way, I've gotten a lot of feedback. And
oh, have you?
A lot
from,
of
from a party of one?
Yes.
How many people have given you feedback?
Two.
Okay.
and they hate these like 10-minute intros.
Where what? Are you serious? Who are you talking to? These people are wrong.
They listen to us.
These people are dead wrong.
Ugh.
This is the best part of the show. What are you doing? Quit doodling.
Is that an 8 or an infinity symbol?
It's an infinity symbol.
Okay.
This is us at our most pure. This is us, like, it's real, man.
Do not play tic-tac-toe.
It's avant-garde.
You children.
Okay, so my laptop's about to run out of space, so now I have to quickly delete files in an effort to keep this podcast afloat.
Wow, I've never felt so much intense.
This is pressure.
Emotion. Okay. Pressure.
All right, hey, don't be mad because I won.
Let's empty the trash there.
You fat bastard cunt.
How much will that... Whoa.
Whoa. Hey, now, don't call him fat. it's fat shaming, bro.
There were no uses of the word cunt in the movie that we watched.
I know, there was supposed to be.
Kind of disappointing.
There was, really.
Okay,
there
was supposed to be. Let's talk about it when we actually do the show, okay? So let's do it.
Is that your new countdown?
Some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad. Other things just make you swear and curse. When you're chewing on life's gristle, that grumble, give a whistle, and this'll help things turn out for the best. And always look on the bright side of life.
Good afternoon,
cheeky bastards.
That was bad.
Terrible.
Every time you do accents, it's like I cringe.
I've never done a good accent.
English. Never done a good
I don't do a good Connecticut accent.
No, you don't.
I just have my own weird
voice. Actually, yeah, you know what? No, you don't.
I have no control over really any part of my body. I just don't. It just has a mind of its own.
Any part of that.
No, I can't inflect my voice in any way.
Right.
I can't move. Like, I can't dance. I can't run. I can't be graceful.
No, you can run. Well, if there's an ice cream truck.
If there's an ice cream truck in front of me. But not with any... Like, I can't contort my body or do anything. Like,
He wouldn't
quit
run.
Quit drawing a dick on my paper.
He wouldn't run when I left him in a cemetery. But what? He sprinted after the ice cream truck.
What do you get from the ice cream truck? I mean, they have all these things. What are you going to get? Like a vanilla cone?
I'm a big fan of the Cyclone Popsicle.
He did get, yeah.
Big fan of the Cyclone.
Actually, he ran down the street, then up his driveway, then back down his driveway.
I did.
That's like 2 miles.
Mind you, the truck was stopped because people were getting ice cream.
Right.
He didn't have to sprint.
But I think I also screamed at the guy, "Stop!" And he took care of me because he assumed I was a mentally challenged adult.
Well, it must be, right?
Yeah, no, 100%.
You had an ice cream truck in your neighborhood?
Yeah.
I remember the ice cream truck.
You have nothing, though.
Well, no, I live in Harwin.
You don't live in a real town.
No.
Your town is a fake town.
I live in that...
Fake town.
What's that place called? The Upside
Peaks?
Down World? That's pretty much where I live.
No, where is in that...
in Stranger Things, the Upside Down?
That Twilight Zone episode where they're on a train to some random...
Last stop to...
Yeah, one of those places. Yeah. Yeah, that's where you live. Last stop to Harwinton!
That's all, for all intents and purposes, that's what it is. There's nothing
there. I also
there.
Feel like it might be the town from Where Is Everybody? Because there's just no one.
Yeah, no one's there.
I don't know what our population is. That's a good question. I think it's like...
No one knows. You can't research
it's
it.
It's you.
It's
you and the friends you made in your head.
I don't even have a family. I don't have parents.
You just sit in your room, just on the floor.
It's not even a house. It's a shack.
It's a box. It's I'm like Solid Snake, and I just put the box on it. Good stuff.
Yeah, welcome to Harwinton. Yeah, welcome to Why Is This a Thing? That's the name of this podcast we're doing here.
Ooh.
Coming to you live on tape!
Well, okay, 4 things wrong with that.
From...
4?
From our new studio? Can we call it a studio?
It's gotta be. It's a work in progress.
It's a room.
It's getting there.
Are we gonna do this every time?
Every single time. Okay. This is it. We are... I have described on the Nico Show my productivity habitat. It is becoming a thing. It's slowly metamorphosizing.
I would just put tiling, like acoustic tiling, just in this alcove.
Yeah, that's a next step. The problem, though, is what do we do with the poster?
Just
I actually think if you get really, really heavy black curtains, that'll take a lot of the sound.
Okay, maybe we...
Yeah, oh, yeah.
But then we don't get any daylight.
And then, what?
If only we had lights.
What do we need light for? Daylight's inspiring.
I'll buy you a candle.
Not even a real one, just one of the fake ones.
Is it a smart candle? Can Alexa turn it on?
Oh my God.
Alexa, candle mode.
Hold on. So it's an Alexa and a clap-on?
Well, it's a clap-on Alexa with candle mode.
Okay.
I don't see what you didn't follow. It was pretty clear.
I love that.
It's a very niche market, but okay.
Where does my Google Home work into the equation?
Do you also have a Google Home?
No, but I want one.
I have one.
Do you?
I
would actually love if my tall-ass Alexa device, like not the little dot, the actual tall-ass Alexa device, just had like a fire come out of the top of the candle. That would be
so great. It's like a Mad Max device.
Candle mode.
Well, you know what? Give the Boring Company about 6 months and they'll do it.
The fucking Boring
Elon Musk is on it.
You and your Boring Company and your flamethrowers.
Stick a balloon on top. It's a hot air balloon now. It's awesome.
Oh, by the way, we haven't mentioned, we have a special guest.
Oh, we do! Right. Yes! Nick Evangelista, welcome to the program.
Yeah, I got the feedback already.
Yeah, welcome
one
to
of,
the
program. One of my sleeper agents.
No, he's got fucking spies listening into our podcast, so I get he doesn't have to.
I get the cliff notes every week, man.
Yeah.
Who is telling
my
you?
My buddy.
You can't tell us
no,
this?
No, I can't tell you.
Is he confidential?
Well, I don't want you blocking his IP.
He's got a friend.
Because we have that technology.
Yeah, he's got a friend that's like, the other three assholes are now a guest host on the show.
And I'm like, what assholes?
Damn.
Yeah. No. Welcome to the show. I'm glad you're here.
And oh, thanks.
Now, we can do this more often. Now, have you been on before?
Yeah.
No.
I can't recall.
First time? Long time?
I can't recall him that.
Long time listener, first time caller?
Is this your first time to Applebee's? Like, what did you say? Fuck you, Karen. I'm just getting a Coke.
Oh man,
it's the worst when they're like, "Yeah, have you ever been to Chili's before?"
I'm like,
"Yeah, it's fucking Chili's."
I think I was born in one.
So like,
give me my ribs.
Like, have you ever been to a salad bar?
Here's how this works.
Is this your first soft serve ice cream at Dairy Queen? We've only had hard ice cream.
What kind of surveys are they conducting? Are they like, collecting data on this? Like,
is that better or worse than when the dentist is asking you questions while they have shit in your mouth?
Well, that's definitely worse, as Bill Cosby described in his stand-up special many years ago.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it is.
Bill Cosby is an expert at things in your mouth.
Oh, God.
I mean, true.
So, do you do any fishing?
So, do you consent?
Oh, God.
Okay, Nick,
I
think I speak for everyone, but you're not invited back.
Oh, wow. I literally just made the best joke we're going to make all night.
Why is this a thing? Does not condone the beliefs of Nick Evangelista?
What do you mean? I'm against Bill Cosby.
That is the strongest anti-rape Me Too comment I've ever heard.
Really?
Yeah, you're an ally, man. You're an ally of all women.
Okay.
That's funny. Okay. What were we talking about?
Well, we watched a film.
Oh, we did. So, we came up with this horrible Monty Python month idea.
Yeah, hey, I'm gone for 5 weeks in a row. And you guys have this crazy idea.
The 1 3-month stretch where I'm not doing anything.
And all of a sudden, you just change the whole place around.
Yeah. In fairness, and Nico can speak for me, I had a quite busy month.
Yes, you definitely did.
So, I'm back in the saddle until I have to go away in a couple weeks.
Yeah. You know who didn't have a busy month? Me. Yeah. It was pretty great. But
why
no.
is that, Nico?
No reason. Just, just yoga. So, the next month is no longer Black History Month. It is Monty Python Month in February.
Well, it's not no longer Black History. Like, we're not replacing it.
No, they're mutually
exclusive. No, it's a national campaign.
Mutually exclusive, man. Mutually exclusive.
I keep forgetting that February is Black History Month.
Yeah, so do I.
How do you forget?
Like, I don't forget that ever.
They remind you all the time. Everybody. I mean,
I go to the gas station, it's like Black History Month.
Yeah.
I'm getting gas.
I know. Sorry.
Isn't it better that
have
I
you read
forget,
any
though?
George Washington Carver biographies lately?
Isn't it a good thing that I forget that it's Black History Month?
There's an argument to be made. I'm not going to make it, but there is one.
No, there is. Yes, I mean, every month should be Black History Month. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I mean, like, what are they going to make a White History Month? No. Am I right?
Oh, my God.
Murder pills!
Did you say murder pills?
Murder pills!
That is so out of left field.
That is such an inside baseball joke. Yes. What were we saying?
Monty Python.
Monty Python.
Yeah. For a whole month.
Yeah.
Yeah!
This might not bear as much fruit as we first anticipated.
What are you doing?
We will see. He's drawing Stars of David on that piece.
What are you hoping to achieve?
All that's a noise.
That's an interesting illustration there. Oh, by the way, that video that you sent us of the Mos Eisley Cantina theme.
Oh, that was the best thing.
What? Put on the pencil.
So the
Oh, yeah.
She's writing a math equation, but it makes Star Wars songs. She made another one. Did you see? She made two of them. But the second one's not quite as good.
Yeah, I can't remember
what. It's the Imperial March, I think.
No, I didn't think it was Star Wars.
No, it is. They were both Star Wars.
Was it?
It was like, duh, 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 duh.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay,
no, that was cool. Yeah, that Mos Eisley thing was really cool.
No, it was really good. I was like, holy crap.
The Imperial March is easy, though. Anybody could do the Imperial March. The Mos Eisley Cantina
thing. Like I said, it wasn't as good. It wasn't as good. That's why I didn't share it with you guys.
Yeah, that was really good.
It was like, all right, she's trying to stretch her 15 minutes to 16.
I want
to
see Bohemian Rhapsody.
Okay, everyone, break out your 2-mile-long poetry. And let's go.
I like that.
I want to hear Freebird.
Yes. Yes.
What an asshole.
Wait, no, I really want to hear Freebird.
Do you imagine, like, an open mic and someone's doing that and someone just screams out Freebird?
Freebird.
Freebird.
It's just... That's why you always gotta...
God, you fucked me up. I was PEMDOSing the shit out of this equation. Throw me off my game.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
So what do you do in your free time? Oh, I play nerd music with a pencil.
Oh, what instruments do you play?
You know...
Number two. Number three.
No, you know, if they actually... You know, they've made these things where you can actually pass, like, electric current through, like... a pencil or a pen.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I wonder if there's some way that you could, like, amplify that like an electric guitar does and actually make, like, an instrument out of a pencil.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
that's pretty...
That is the nerdiest thing I've ever fucking...
Well, I hate music, so I'm not going to do it, but...
That's pretty great. I like that.
Wow. That could be fun.
By the way, I have a question for y'all.
Oh, yeah?
This is a... Because I'm getting my life together. It's Nico 2.0, as I've described.
It's freaking me out, by the way.
Yeah.
I want to just publicly say that.
It should. What instrument should I learn?
Triangle.
I know my way around a triangle. I'll have you know.
How about a square? You can hit the four sides.
How about the spoons?
No, okay.
No, you need to learn the accordion.
My dad used to play accordion.
Wait, really?
No. Yes, there is an accordion hanging around, I think, my grandparents' basement somewhere.
You, my good man, you were destined for the accordion.
You should become the next Weird Al.
I mean, are you looking for, like, strings, brass, wind,
I'm
percussion?
Looking for vagina.
Ah.
Okay, strings.
Well, you have four pianos in this house.
I do. I've always liked piano. The problem with piano is, number one, it's hard to learn, and you can't walk around with it on the street picking up ladies.
Here's the thing that's weird.
Instruments are hard to learn, though. Like,
String is what's going to get the ladies in the door, but, you know, what's going to keep them is, like, wind. You know, you got to be able to...
Whoa. Oh, that's an excellent point.
So is it?
You got to know your way around the bassoon.
You can play a harmonica, you can play a woman. Just kidding.
Play the mouth harp.
That's all it takes, man.
The level of sexual connotation. There.
Sweet home Alabama.
Okay, I genuinely don't know what's happening anymore.
What the hell?
You're just not smart enough.
I like that idea though. That's not bad.
It won't work though. By the way,
it won't work.
Don't take me a face.
Those are not transferable skills.
No.
Okay.
Saxophone.
Saxophone is pretty jazzy.
You can't go wrong with just classic guitar.
You can.
Start small. Ukulele.
Here's the problem. Literally. Now, here's the problem with guitar. Yeah. Then you're that douche with the guitar. And I always hate that guy.
Sure.
And
it's the same dude singing Wonderwall.
And I have,
that's the only song he knows.
I already have too many friends who do that. You know, right. I don't need another one.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Pick up.
But I don't know if I'm just going to be that regular douche with a guitar, though.
There was no cliche in college that pissed me off more than that fucking asshole sitting on the bench just strumming his acoustic all fucking day.
If you want to learn a string instrument, do like
you know,
bass.
I learned guitar because my brother died when I was young. Oh, anyway, here's Wonderwall.
Yeah. Would you like to read one of my poems?
I'm glad your brother died.
Oh, you know what? Me too.
Why are we saying oh to this fictional guy?
I wish you would step back from that ledge, my friend.
Not really. JK.
So,
but here's a shotgun.
Monty Python.
Oh yeah, Monty Python. And the Life of Brian, or just Life of Brian, is the name of this film. We're working our way through all of the filmography.
Well, we're not doing Holy Grail.
Okay,
not necessary.
Because obvious.
What did we do last week?
The meaning of life.
Meaning of life.
Have you seen The Meaning of Life?
Yes. A while ago.
Yeah. So next week, I think we're gonna do. Are we gonna do and now for something completely different?
Oh, are we gonna do like? Is it gonna be like one of those puzzles like Meaning of Life, Life of Brian, Brian?
Oh, I like that, but no.
And now for something completely different, if we're doing Nick's idea, it would have to probably be the last one, right?
I guess, because isn't it just, like, sketches that didn't make it to Flying Circus?
Essentially.
So Flying Circus was the TV show.
Was the TV show, yeah.
So we're going to do a couple episodes of that one of these weeks, right? And there were three films that they did?
If we're counting
and now for something completely different.
Okay, which is just outtakes. Okay.
I mean, and then there's, of course, Holy Grail, but we're not doing Holy Grail. Yeah.
So Meaning of Life, Nicholas, was an interesting film. It is very random and all over the place and square pegs and round holes, if you will. I mean, a lot of random stuff thrown in there. And it was a good Why Is This a Thing podcast because it was a little philosophical and a lot to sort of discuss. This is a fairly straightforward narrative with some cheeky-ass British blokes making weird dialogue to one another.
No, I mean, they made some statements about things, right? I mean,
right. That's
well, yeah,
basically
they always do. Like it's,
it was. Where does this one rank in your enjoyment of all of the Monty Python films, Python fans?
It's probably.
I'd say for me, it goes Grail, this, then Meaning of Life.
Me okay. too.
With various Flying Circuses mixed in.
Here's the thing about the Holy Grail movie. This is why I don't want to do it.
Okay.
I, like, can't stand it anymore to a degree.
Oh. Well, yeah. Well, see,
because I've seen it so much. Not, I've seen it in theater.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, and when everyone says, oh, have you ever seen Monty Python? No, go watch Holy Grail. Like, that's...
Sure, but, like...
Like, that's everyone's go-to. I still love it. I still think it's really funny, but you're right. I've seen it a lot.
Yeah, it's like smells like Teen Spirit for people who aren't Nirvana fans.
Yeah, a little Big Lebowski effect too. A little bit like, you know, we're college kids and we respect comedy, man.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what we're into. Pulp Fiction is a similar thing. There were just those movies in the 90s. And now it feels like, in retrospect, Holy Grail has become that a little bit. It's still a phenomenal film. I mean,
that's my favorite comedy.
Is it really?
Period. Yeah.
Wow.
My number one favorite comedy.
Yeah. Weird.
Not really. No, not weird at all, actually.
I wonder what my favorite comedy is.
Yeah. I can confidently say that, too. Yeah. Not like other films where it's like, I can't pick.
No. Did our levels get really quiet? I'm just looking at that.
No, I think we got quiet.
How did that happen?
We did just slowly get quieter and quieter.
I'm just seeing, it's like watching like some guy at the hospital is like, boop.
Just flatline.
Boop, mm-hmm. boop.
Yeah, one of these days we're going to flatline. One of these days, the stroke is going to take us all.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
That's okay. I don't like that.
Yeah, no. Oh, nothing worse than a stroke.
How did you enjoy it?
Nothing puts a damper on a day more than a stroke. Huh?
I was going to go to the grocery store today.
But God damn it.
But now I'm just going to go cry.
Out of one eye.
My favorite is describing them as strokey. I hate being all strokey.
It's not an adjective.
Yeah, I don't think that's what they like being called.
Yeah.
They prefer little people.
Jesus. Are you implying that all midgets are stroke victims?
I'm just being an asshole.
Oh, man. Okay.
All right.
I liked Meaning of Life better for all you... that are interested. Yes, I like that one a little better just because...
You like that it was, like, off-kilter, just all over the place?
I just laughed more, I think. I laughed more, and I thought that it was a little more edgy, and it had a little bit more to say. And this one had some stuff to say, and it's still Monty Python, and it was still good, but I kind of liked how off-kilter the last one was, and this one felt a little down the middle.
So, I think, I just remember distinctly years ago with my family in Maine, we were watching the Monty Python show, I think, the Flying Circus. Yeah. And I remember laughing harder at that than any of the other Monty Python stuff.
Okay.
Just the skits.
Flying Circus?
Yeah, just all the skits, because they're not like, it's almost like when you're making a movie, it has to be like a certain length. Like, they just did the skits, and they're done. And it was as funny as it needed to be, as long as it needed to be, and they move on.
And it was not that vulgar, right? Because it was on television.
Some of it was.
Some of it's a little,
you know.
I mean, but it was on BBC.
Sometimes
so they
can we watch the episode that has the funniest joke in the world?
Yes. Oh yeah, absolutely.
That stuck with me for years.
Yes,
that joke.
sometimes it is interesting, the limitations of TV. I feel like we talk about this a lot, but television has demands that movies don't have, and sometimes that spurs on the
almost
best
not so much anymore though. Today it's changed.
Right.
It's almost actually like flipped,
which is true. It was 100% has flipped, and what we're seeing now is people getting a little indulgent with their Netflix shows. Mm. It's just like, yo, man. And like, why not just tell this story over three seasons, and we could just take our time, bro. And sometimes in the old days, like, some of the great stuff out of sitcoms and the great intellectual content of television came from half-hour episode, and you can't swear, and you have to get through the censors, and you have to make it for families. And sometimes that can bring on some good stuff. Like, we're never gonna get an All in the Family anymore because we're too busy making, like, you know, weird hipster sitcoms about fantasy football shows for streaming services. You know what I mean? It's all very specific. Turn a phrase.
There's a lot of niches to fill too.
Yeah,
you know, it's like
people are getting a little too high and mighty with their sitcom concepts. You know, and sometimes an old fashioned sketch show gets the job done.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Key and Peele is the new Monty Python. Well, they were anyway.
They were.
That's an interesting.
They were.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I would consider Chappelle our Key and Peele.
Sure.
Or our Monty
well,
Python.
Well, I would all, I'd well, say...
Key and Peele were the new Chappelle. Chappelle was the new Monty Python.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can go back, and there's always going to be someone doing sketches.
Yeah.
Key and Peele just stole all of Chappelle's
stuff. No, that's literally...
Right? It's literally the exact same show.
Yeah.
Just not as funny. I mean, I like Key and Peele as much as the next guy, but it's not...
Well, I mean, I can name for you over the years all of the, like, comedians that had their little sketch shows and that didn't work out.
Right.
Like, I mean, even Dimitri Martin had one. Carlos Mencia.
Well, Mencia okay, Carlos Mencia is
Mind of
not
Mencia.
A comedian.
Okay.
I think he tells jokes. I think that... He
tells other people's jokes very well. Well.
Sure, okay. I'm just saying over the years. I think you had, was it Michael and Michael? Remember?
Michael and Mike?
I don't know
what you're talking about.
There's two comedians, Michael and Mike. I don't remember the last names because that was the name of the show.
So. I do remember.
You know what I'm talking about?
I think that's an ESPN show. But
No. Okay. It was a pretty good show. It didn't last very long. A lot of these...
A lion.
I guess
Human Giant.
The thing about, like, Chappelle and Key and Peele is that, like, they're actually good at it.
Yeah.
Man, and Chappelle just was like, you know, I'm good. Two seasons, I don't feel like doing this anymore, and leaves. Like, the guy has...
And then they got someone else to do Chappelle's show.
Right.
For a season, and it tanked.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't know that part.
No, so, Chappelle's show has three seasons. Dave Chappelle did the first two.
Well, he did the two and a half, I think. I think he did a little bit of the third season. And then I was like, I'm gone. I'm going to go to Africa now and, like, not do comedy anymore, even though I'm very rich and the biggest name in comedy.
What a cool guy.
I love Chappelle, dude.
Yeah.
Chappelle's fucking amazing.
You leave when you're at top. You don't wait till you hit rock bottom, in my opinion.
Yeah. You should all watch the new Chappelle specials because they'll change your life.
I've seen one of them.
Okay. The second one will change your life.
Okay. Well, what does that have to do with Monty Python?
I don't have much to say about Life of Brian, all right? Let's just cut to the chase.
There we go. That's
what
I wanted to hear.
I'm dancing around this. I don't have much to say about Life of Brian. This film is set in Jerusalem during biblical times. It involves biblical plots, or at least tangentially related biblical plots. Yeah. You know, this
just commentary on religion in general, I think.
A little bit of commentary on religion, a little bit of government, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I mean, it's all cheeky and great, and these blokes are very clever. But beyond that, I don't know, man. It wasn't that funny. To be honest with you, it wasn't that funny. I laughed at times, but some of the humor was a little over my head because it was very British, and I'm not one for subtlety.
Interesting. He wants to be punched in the face with comedy.
I do. I do. The film opens up with a boy named Brian being born, and he is mistaken for Jesus. He is
born just a couple tents down.
Right. It's crazy. I mean, they said there was no room in that inn, but I mean,
Brian of Nazareth.
Yeah, it turns out.
I love that. Yeah.
There was plenty of room. The three wise men come to visit Brian, and they give him the gifts, and ultimately become Indian givers. I'm sorry, Native American givers. And
what?
And take the gifts back.
What?
Sorry, no. Redskin giver.
Oh,
have you really never heard of Indian giver?
It's somebody who gives a gift and takes it back.
Takes it back.
I've never heard of that once.
Oh,
like what Nick's gonna do with that Star Wars poster?
Right. Probably not. you mean to my brother?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, maybe.
It is a bit of a racist term, isn't it?
Indian
giver. A little bit.
I don't even know where it comes from, though. Like,
yeah, did the Indians ever give... I mean, if anything, we gave them shit that we took back.
Yeah. You know, land? Yeah. I don't think I really gave that to us, though. They did take it back.
To be fair, we gave them a lot of stuff and didn't take it back. Measles?
Yeah, we did too.
You can
smallpox.
Keep it.
Yep. The mumps.
Bullets.
Whoa.
Raging fire.
Whoa.
We're getting real edgy today. We're in a Monty Python mood here. Real dangerous on the podcast. So that happens, and so kicks off the plot of an average guy in biblical times doing Messiah-like things, or at least people interpret his actions to be Messiah-like. Nick, care to explain the rest of the plot?
Well, he joins some terrorist organizations trying to rise...
The People's Front of Judea.
Was it the People's Front of Judea, or was it the Judean People's Front, or was it the...
The People's Front of Judea.
Was it the Populous Front of Judea, or there's a bunch of those, right?
And
all these splinter groups that can't
get
along.
And the Judean Popular Front, which was a guy.
Splinter! he joins these and self-proclaimed in the movie terrorist organizations.
Yes.
Who are trying to overthrow the Romans, even though the Romans gave them aqueducts, education, agriculture,
medicine,
roads.
Education.
Well, of course, the roads, Zach.
That goes without saying.
I could not tell, and this happened in the Meaning of Life as well. What side these people were on politically?
I don't think they know.
I don't think they know either, but I think when they write the scripts, they tend to have conflicting points of view on this. Are they for the individual and freedom and rebellion, or are they for government oversight? I'm not really quite
sure. You're talking about the writers of Monty Python?
That's what I'm talking about here. Because we ran into a similar ideological conundrum last week.
I don't think they care.
I don't know. It's not... They don't have a side.
Yeah.
The thing about like satire is you just fucking... All you do is just tell people what they're doing wrong, and you don't offer any fucking productive solutions. That's my beef with satire.
Well, yeah.
I love it, but, like, you know, I actually blame Nico for this a lot. You're overly critical, but you don't bring anything to the table. You're just being an asshole. At one point, it's like, oh, I'm smarter than you. It's like, okay, but, like...
It's like later on in the movie when they say, okay, we need... The time for talking is over. We need the time for action. And just one of them goes, okay... Now, let's have a discussion.
Right.
It's like it's...
Yeah, there are so
You don't
many...
accomplish anything.
Yeah.
Well, they're so just trying to get you thinking so that maybe you'll, you know, make a better decision yourself later on, I guess. That's always my take on satire.
But what
it's important. It has a role.
What I find interesting about these guys, though, is they don't really tell you how to feel about anything. They just make you question it, and they really don't have any stake in what decision you ultimately make.
Yeah.
Right? So they're poking fun at religion as much as they're... praising religion in some instances here. At some times in the last film, we ran into this situation when they were talking about sex. Like, it was a very like sexually liberated film in some aspects, and in other aspects it was kind of like, yo, settle down, kids. And I don't know, I think it's just making both sides question the absurdity of their points of view a little bit, and that's kind of what I dig about them, is that they don't feel like they have an agenda. Their agenda is comedy.
Well, and the song at the end, they literally, one of the lines is, life is absurd.
Yeah. Right.
And I think that's just their take on everything.
Yes.
It's just everything's absurd.
Right.
Like, nothing is logical, nothing makes sense, just go with it.
And the fact that you're not questioning it makes you absurd as well, you know?
The fact that you believe in these things, I think, is more...
Yeah. Sure, exactly right. Yeah, go ahead, keep going.
So he joins these terrorist organizations, right? And they, he gets caught up in, basically, he gets caught up in a plot, and where the two splinter groups that don't get along started fighting each other, and they kill each other. Brian's the only one left standing,
mm-hmm.
and now the Romans are going to arrest him. Right. So he's running away, and then he gets caught up being a sort of prophet for some made-up religion because he's trying to hide.
Yes. Correct.
And just gathers this following, this mass of people who just worship him.
Completely unintentionally.
Yeah.
Just because he didn't give them the answer.
Yeah.
Which is my favorite part about it. It's not like he gave them the answers and they followed him. He didn't give them shit.
He like stopped talking mid-sentence when the guards ran. That's it, I'm gone.
What's the last word? Yeah. Out of there, drops his shoe, drops a gourd, and they're worshiping the shoes and the gourds.
Yep.
It's absurd, right?
It's not a shoe, it's a sandal.
Oh,
no, it's a shoe!
I think it was the opposite.
Calling his mom a virgin, which she should
be. Yeah, just because she didn't answer if she was a virgin.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, she's definitely a virgin.
She's like secretly blowing every Roman that comes in.
Yeah.
Which is okay, right?
Well.
Nothing wrong with that.
This movie is at its most funny when it's violent towards innocent people.
Yes. Monty Python is always funniest when
Are you thinking of the Colosseum?
I'm thinking of many instances that I will describe for you. First of all, a random woman gets punched in the face at the beginning of the movie because she's defending her man.
Yep.
I mean, not funny in all instances, but in this particular instance, very hilarious. Another example was when there was a stoning of...
Oh, right. The stoning was brilliant.
The stoning scene was incredible.
Commentary on the modern justice system.
I have a question. Do you think this lust for blood was really there in ancient times? Like, was that actually a thing? Because I understand, like, now everybody's like, oh, yeah, that was just like football for us. People would go to the Colosseums and watch lions maul people. You know, was that actually an obsession, or was it just like, yo, you're kind of weird if you enjoy that shit?
Why don't you believe this stuff?
Yeah.
Because I'm ignorant.
Yes.
There's a lot of historical evidence to support. But they enjoyed this.
Was it mainstream, or was it just...
The
fact that the Colosseum exists and was so fucking popular is indicative of that.
It's like if...
I think us here in this room are just like... a couple steps away from, like, knives at our throats. Fucking, right? I mean...
Here's all I'm saying. 2,000 years from now, whatever breed of science is examining, whatever they call it, archaeology, is looking back and studying this version of society, they're gonna find, like, WWE shit. But that doesn't mean everybody is obsessed with WWE. You know what I mean? It's a subset of the population that a lot of us consider kind of weird.
No. But
there are still places in the world today that are like that.
Yeah.
Like that, though? Like, where most of the country, like, enjoys going to public
stoning?
Where
stonings? They go stoning? I mean, that happens today.
Yeah, it does happen today, actually.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? I mean...
Humanity sucks, though.
Well, Nico, I just don't think you really understand how... Because you're so focused on... American cultures that back in Roman times and a totally different culture and a totally different set of religions and rules, this was popular because...
And I mean, even...
I don't doubt its existence. I just doubt, like, how many people were just playing along or how many people actually enjoyed it. That's really what I'm trying to say.
I think it's just kind of like, you know, when you're confronted by it all the time, it's just part of your culture. It's not really so much like an enjoyment or non-enjoyment. It's just that.
But even chariot races were not pretty things to see. At least from if I were to sit down and watch a chariot race back in the Roman times, I'd be like, this is incredibly fucked up.
Yeah.
In so many ways.
When I watch hockey, I'm waiting for a guy to get punched. When I watch NASCAR, I'm waiting for a crash.
Yeah. That's true.
You know, when I'm watching golf, I'm...
waiting for
I'm not watching Tiger golf. Woods
to, to waiting drive for the ball to ricochet and hit his nuts.
Yeah, that's right. When I'm watching golf, I'm waiting for boxing to come on.
Okay. Like, you're trying to fall asleep.
Right.
When you watch fishing, you're hoping the guy hooks his mouth.
Whoa. No, that is edgy, Zach.
I honestly don't think it's that hard to believe that so many people would enjoy this at all.
People like violence.
Yeah. Yes! We love violence.
Everybody loves a good riot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? True.
I suppose. But there's a public stoning scene that's very hilarious, and it involves, I think as we hinted at last week, men pretending to be women pretending to be men.
Yes.
And man, oh man, you cannot get any more meta and hilarious than that.
Gender is irrelevant
in
these films, which I love.
Kinda. Speaking of gender being irrelevant, there was also a scene that involved...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Gender.
Gender, it's gender identity. Again, way ahead of its time.
Oh, yeah.
Man, like, Monty... I mean, there was stuff last week where, like, we don't want to be putting labels on this baby right off the bat. And all of a sudden, again, they're talking about, you know, oh, yeah, I want to be a woman because I want to have babies. And
well, you can't have babies.
Call me Loretta.
Well, we won't support you being able to have babies, but we'll support your right to have babies.
Yeah.
What's the point?
He can't have babies.
Where's the fetus going to gestate out of?
You're going to put it in a box?
That's the best.
Was it that Britain was ahead of America on those issues? Is that the reason why?
They've always been ahead of us on these issues.
Yeah, but like was
well, yeah, because they've had longer to
yes.
to realize the things they're done wrong.
They're the elder brother, sister, whatever you want to call it.
So is transgenderism, like, was that an issue 30 years ago? Because like
that's always been around.
Well, no, it's been around, but it was not talked about in those terms. I mean, it was like the idea of identifying as something was not really what we called it. I mean, we called it, like, cross-dressing, and we made fun of hermaphrodites and stuff. But in that sort of conversation about gender identity was not a thing happening in 1979 in America.
I think they try very hard to not take sides on issues, even issues that back then were, like,
taboo.
They just want to point out the absurdity of it all.
Well, and we talked about it last week. If they thought something would be funny, they made a joke about it. That was their comedy.
And I think that scene, not only does it point out to the absurdity of the idea of that person being, I don't want to be like transgender because I want to have babies. And it's like, well, you can't. But also, the absurdity of even the guy giving a shit. Who cares is the whole point.
Right.
Right?
Well, yeah.
The whole point is, like, both sides of this argument are absurd.
Yeah, and, like, that was the thing. It was like, yeah, this guy's sort of crazy because he wants to have babies, so he wants to be a woman. But again, they were like, okay, well, you know, let's fight for your right to have a kid. So they're all like, well, okay, fine.
But like, why?
But like, yeah.
Well, it's their just total irreverence for anything. It's interesting because to me, I think the closest modern day comparison to Monty Python is actually South Park, which is interesting when you consider the fact that Matt Stone and Trey Parker are heavily inspired by Monty Python.
This is one of Trey Parker's favorite movies.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's really interesting. Yeah, I could sort of see that. Yeah, I mean, it's
I can totally see that from like day one of South Park.
Literally. Yeah, two different cultures, I guess, but still the brand of comedy is similar.
Yes.
Okay, so Brian gets roped up in this plot, ends up getting arrested by the Romans, writes graffiti on the walls.
Oh, that was brilliant.
But is
while getting a Latin lesson.
Yes, learning to conjugate verbs.
I love the centurion guy isn't even, like, upset about what he's doing. He's upset that he didn't conjugate the Latin properly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's holding a knife to his throat. It's so good.
That had to have been based on their experiences of trying to learn Latin probably in school.
Probably.
I would imagine that would... That's
or just any language, really. I mean, anybody can relate to that to a degree. It's just
Latin.
Yeah, my girlfriend took Latin.
Yeah. Ugh.
She went to one of those stupid
schools.
What's
the point of learning
mine?
What do you need Latin
for? She took Latin
for
like 2 years.
Latin's
doesn't understand a fucking word of it.
Latin's good
for
other languages or just understanding the root words of things, I guess, or like the scientific name.
Yeah, I mean, and science still uses it.
Yeah, I know that.
But I mean,
medicine.
Like you're not going to someone on the street and ordering a burger in Latin.
Well, no, but it's also like if you want to become
five burgers.
Visual joke for the audio podcast never fails.
What, and like
holding up two fingers
and like if you want to become like a historic
BTS nuts.
BTS.
Did you spell invites with no vowels followed by nuts? What are you saying?
I was referencing History of the World.
I was gonna say History of the World Part 1.
Probably make it easier to talk.
Which is a great movie, too.
Yeah, make it easier to talk to your dog if you know.
Plumbing.
You know?
Pipe the shit right out of your house. Plumbing!
And I didn't get to finish my dog joke. Fine, it's gone. It's out. You're never going to know it. You're never going to know
it. It's okay.
It's out in the ether.
What's the joke? What is it? Start following Nico.
His jet's hat. We must become planes.
And suck at football.
It's what was that? Was that joke in when they were following the gourd in the shoe? It's not of the body or the mind, but of the head and
face. But of head and face.
That was my favorite.
That's a great line too.
I love it. Pontius Pilate is a main character in this film. He has a lisp.
It's wonderful.
It's a quite comedic lisp.
I always thought a lisp was only the S's make a th sound.
I think
that's what Biggesticus's lisp is a classical lisp. Yeah,
but is a lisp just
Elmer Fudd?
But
yeah, his is like, more is of a speech.
The definition of a lisp is you can't say
a certain sound.
A certain sound.
I don't think it's S's. I think it's a certain sound, and it's different for different people.
Okay.
So I'm pretty sure I've looked this up before.
What's the difference?
Because he had an R sound lisp.
You know what's great about the word lisp?
W sound.
That people with a lisp can't say lisp. It's one of the cruelest jokes that we play on people.
What is it?
People that have a lisp can't say lisp.
Yeah, it's a dick move.
It's a real dick move.
So what's the difference between that and just a regular speech impediment? Because
I think like a stutter is a speech impediment.
Okay.
But a lisp is you can't say a certain sound.
Right.
Yeah.
Or like you have something that. So, like me, I can't really say my R's all that well.
Mm.
When I was younger, it was way more prominent. But there's a comedian in England who, I shit you not, his tongue is like 1.5 times the size of a normal tongue.
Yeah, that's a real thing.
Okay. Yeah, so he can't say his R's either, but it's not a lisp. It's a speech impediment because it's a physical thing preventing him from saying it.
So, like, Anthony Kiedis is a similar problem.
So, Zach and I actually both have lisps.
Yeah.
And mine is for S's.
No, you don't.
I do. It's very subtle.
It's very subtle. And again, that used to be really prominent.
Yes.
Say suffering succotash.
Suffering succotash.
Okay.
So I do have one. It's very subtle.
Can you say Irish wristwatch?
Irish wristwatch.
Okay.
Irish what?
I'm saying it slow.
No, I mean like that. Irish wristwatch.
I'm not going to do this.
You have to be like very firm with your fucking lips and be like gay as fuck.
Be foam with your damn it lips.
Shake your nostril.
That's a good way to like help any sort of lisp and speech impediment is just practice tongue twisters all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sally sells seashells by the seashore.
Who's Sally?
Sally sold seashells.
I don't know, but she's selling seashells.
What a bitch! I can just go to the shore and get some. Why am I paying her?
And why did I go all the way to the shore? I know. Just go for a walk. Yeah.
Can't even collect rainwater anymore. I'm gonna buy fucking shells from this whore.
Oh god. He's featured. He has a friend named Biggesticus.
Biggesticus. Is that Biggesticus later? The one who
with
is
the list? With the actual like the yeah.
Oh wow, love it.
Yeah. Biggesticus.
So in that scene, he's daring his guards not to laugh.
Does anyone else find this funny?
Well, that wasn't supposed to happen.
Oh, really?
The guy, who was playing Pontius? I can't remember.
Michael Palin.
Was it Michael Palin? So Michael Palin decided, let's see if I can get these actors who were told not to laugh.
Oh, that's funny.
To laugh.
That's good stuff.
So he just kept saying, Biggesticus. In a weird voice.
That is so did we establish last week that these guys don't really improvise that much, or they do improvise quite a bit?
I mean, we have the theory where it's always like, okay, these are the jokes. Get there.
Right.
Sure.
I think it's partly scripted, partly improv. I mean, I assume it's mostly scripted.
It's got to be scripted if you're going to have, like, costumes and lighting in a scene, right? I mean,
yeah.
Well, not necessarily.
To a degree.
It just means it's set up, but, I mean,
there's got to be some light scripting at the very least.
I call it, like, structured improv, if that makes any sense.
Sure.
Yeah.
A Curb Your Enthusiasm type. I mean, Curb Your Enthusiasm is, like, that to the extreme.
It's also totally fair to say these guys are completely immature, right? I mean,
yes.
What do you think these guys are like to hang out with? Are they that goofy? Because I do sense a little bit of pretentiousness.
I kind of actually sort of envision like a bit of a frat house.
Really?
Well, from what everyone has said over the years, they're like some of the nicest people.
I am not.
Like, I think the only one that they said was a little weird was John Cleese, but that's just because he's particular about things.
He's yes. Cleese. He was just kind of, you know, he's the hard person to. He's opinionated with everything. Yeah. According to Terry Gilliam, he's like, the problem with John is that he likes to explain everything and try to put everything in a box, and his comedy comes from never being able to do that properly.
Yeah, right. I think when Chapman was an alcoholic, Chapman was probably not fun to hang out with.
Supposedly was the worst to work with.
Well, during Holy Grail, he was hammered.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Thought like the entire thing.
Yep, because he was a raging alcoholic.
Yeah.
He
had a lot of problems. This movie actually was after he stopped drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Which is quite impressive.
Do they still like each other?
Well, John and Eric are in L.A., so they don't see much of each other. But yeah. Terry Jones, Terry Gilliam, and Michael Palin hang out frequently, apparently.
So how old are these guys, and when did these movies actually come out? Because, like, I have a general figure in my head of when they came out, but I actually don't know.
Holy Grail was 77? 75?
Are they 70s?
This was 79.
This was 79, yes. and Meaning of Life was 83.
So this is like mid to late 70s.
Holy Grail was
75.
I'm saying all of like Monty Python's work is probably over a decade roughly.
They're in their like late 60s, I want to say.
By now?
Most of them, yeah.
Okay. Well, because Flying Circus was, I think, late 70s.
Yeah.
I do know that they did a reunion show like a year ago.
Yeah.
Really?
Like an improv show on stage or something? Or?
No, they just did all their classic sketches.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, like they did like the Lumberjack song and everything. The parrot and the
Silly Walks, probably.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, yeah. The Monty Python Live, parenthesis mostly.
What, do they have a screen for?
Was in 2014. It was a stage show, and it was their first live performance together in 34 years.
Yeah.
And to date, it was their last. So that was like their big show.
Yeah.
Their last,
did they go on tour or is it one place?
Just
like,
one. It was in London.
Their last film get together was they did voice work for a movie with Simon Pegg in it, and Robin Williams did the voice for a dog, and I guess it was like his last film performance in general.
Robin Williams?
Yeah.
What movie?
Yes.
Absolutely.
That is.
What movie?
Yeah, I have the article up right now.
Is it out?
From the time of its announcement, absolutely everything sounded like a comedy fan's wet dream. It was a new feature from Monty Python's Terry Jones, who directed Life of Brian and Meaning of Life, starring present-day Python torch carriers Simon Pegg and Eddie Izzard. A little bit of a stretch. Plus vocal performances by Jones and his fellow surviving Pythons, John Cleese, Eric Idle, Michael Palin, and Terry Gilliam, and Robin Williams in his final off-screen performance.
Wow, what about that for our last
one? I have never heard of this movie.
Apparently it's not very good.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
He plays Simon Pegg's puppy.
Yeah.
Oh! Yeah.
It's such a shame, man. It really is such a shame that his career just did that in its last years. It really sucks.
Yeah.
I was watching Good Will Hunting the other day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, don't do it. I'm gonna cry.
And fucking bawling my eyes out. That same scene does it every... It's Not Your Fault does it to me every single goddamn time. And there's a stretch, right? You start off with the, if you're here in 20 years, I'm gonna fucking kill you. Yeah. That scene between Affleck and Damon where I'm like, oh my god, that is heart-wrenching. And then it goes right to Robin Williams with what's-his-face, the British fuck, having a conversation about, oh, it's about my medal, isn't it? And all that. But he's a good kid! And then it goes right into It's Not Your Fault. And I'm like, god damn it, this movie every time.
It's fucking brutal.
When they give each other the hug at the end.
It's a great movie.
It's such a good movie. Anyway. Where were we? Monty Python.
No, I mean, that's it.
Oh, we're done. Okay, cool.
We're done. Let's talk about the Deus Ex Machina.
This is the single best Deus Ex Machina I think I've ever seen in film.
Yeah, this is Monty Python.
This, I think, is making fun of Deus Ex Machina.
No, yes. Of course. This is a satire. No,
100%, yeah.
I agree 100%.
Although, I do think there is an element of, where do we go from here? Fuck it.
But
yeah.
There's brilliance in that. It's what they come up with that just blows my mind.
And the total indifference of the characters.
Yes,
it is.
Just write yourself into a corner and figure out how you get out of it.
Yeah,
that's always entertaining.
Well, yeah, no, I feel like it was like, okay, Brian's gonna fall off this tower. How does Eve survive?
It could have very easily. Aliens. It could have very easily, like for any other movie that was taken this seriously, been like the hand of God. But they're like, fuck that shit.
Yeah.
Fucking aliens. Let's do it.
Yeah. They want to go so far in the other direction.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
They want to go to that absurdity where it's no longer just sort of, man, let's sort of make fun of it and to be like, oh, hey, by the way, here it is. Yep. Like, right in your face.
Brian falls off a building, and just as he's about to hit the ground, an alien spaceship zooms by, picking him up, and he finds himself now right in the middle of some sort of intergalactic conflict.
Space battle!
Yep, there's Star Wars now going on. These aliens have eyes in their hands.
Where there's, like... These are the most grotesque aliens I've ever seen.
I mean,
like... I would watch an entire movie just about those two aliens.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's blue mush with a hand sticking out of it holding a giant eye.
Holding
eyeball.
A giant.
I mean, it's the Simpsons aliens taken to extreme, right?
Sure. I mean,
it's creative goodness. I love it.
It's so good.
Yeah. Where there's like skid sounds in space from cars. Mm.
So all of a sudden that happens, and he's quickly dropped off at the exact same place that he was picked up.
Crash landed.
Precisely the same place.
No survivors except for him.
Except for him, and then he just continues on his foot chase.
The spectator doesn't really mention it.
Yep.
He just says...
The Roman guards just run past the wreckage.
Mm-hmm.
No one mentions
as
it.
As you would.
Right? Yeah, as you would. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wouldn't know what it is.
And for some reason...
Well, maybe aliens have visited, and the Romans just didn't care. Maybe they're like, oh, okay, here's another one.
That's not the event that triggers the religion, though. That's not what everybody in this town of Jerusalem follows. They just follow the random guy that, like, said an ambiguous sentence once.
Yeah. Yes.
Not the actual... I also love
and life. Gave away a gourd.
Yeah.
I love the idea of this alleyway just full of, like, different people being like, follow my religion!
Yeah.
Just, like, preaching bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty great.
What was it, like, you will hit the goat and hit your nephew
you'll
or something?
Hit your donkey and your nephew at approximately 8 a.m. in the morning.
It's like, what the
and
fuck?
And the things that were there, you won't know where they went. And they're little and wrapped.
The tools thy father brought forward will go missing in the night.
Yes.
Something like that, right? It's like so absurd. Yeah. It's great.
So anyway, Mother is probably the last third of this film, and by that I mean the Darren Aronofsky film Mother. The masses begin following Brian around. I think one of my favorite jokes in the whole movie was a visual joke, and it involved Brian's penis.
Oh, that was brilliant.
He had...
I just gotta say, I just watched Boogie Nights.
Okay.
And I told all of you this already, but very reminiscent.
Get
a penis, Nick. Go.
I mean, beyond the fact that it's just a penis, I mean, there weren't any similarities in the two penises.
No, because the entire movie sort of hovers around it.
Yes.
And then in the last, like, 10 seconds, there's like, here's the dick. I love it.
You mean, like the way that whole scene is set up is promising penis that it eventually...
Right, like, the scene that Nico's referring to, the entire time, it's like, the camera's, like, just barely not showing his dick.
And
right.
Falling his ass.
It's like also the Simpsons movie, where Bart is skateboarding naked.
That was amazing. That's actually straight out of that.
And it's covered, hedge.
Yeah.
Just a gap in the hedge.
Yeah, the movie...
The miracle hedge, by the way.
Yeah.
Because it's just floating.
The movie is very careful to film around the penis, and then all of a sudden he opens his shutter and just looks out into Jerusalem naked.
Which I feel like even if you thought nobody was in this alley, you still wouldn't open the shutter that goes to your knees naked.
I was literally going to say that. Would you ever do something like that?
Yes,
I might.
It's really liberating.
I mean, if I'm in a cabin in a mountain,
yes,
and the nearest person's 5 miles away, it's maybe. Like,
I've definitely been naked and looked outside my window with my hands on my hips, just being like, yeah. But I don't think anybody was on the other side.
It's kind of liberating, right?
Very liberating.
It's liberating being naked,
sure.
As I've said many a times on this podcast, if I could walk around naked and it'd be socially acceptable.
Like, if it was socially...
I would all the time.
Actually, I mean, okay, so if you're in a situation where it is socially acceptable to be naked, it's very liberating. Yeah.
Like I said, I said nudist colony to him, and he said no.
No, not a nudist colony.
Well, no, because they don't... nudist colony, they're not like, we live regular life, but naked. No, it's orgies.
Yeah.
Okay? Like,
it's
anybody...
It's not normal. Right.
People who, like, pretend, like, nudists, they just live life. They just don't believe in clothes. Like, no, they fucking... They have orgies, and they drink poison together. It's... They're lunatics.
Yeah, it's not...
Sorry.
It's not a sexual thing. It's just I want to go about life normally, just not having clothes on.
I'm referring to when I was in Japan, they have bathhouses, right? And I walk in with all these people who I can barely communicate with, so I know there's not going to be any conversation, right?
Right.
But it's everybody's just naked, and you just You get in a hot tub and you're just naked. And it's fucking awesome. It's so good.
That felt a little weird too.
No, it didn't.
I don't like being in hot water with other men.
Well, no, I mean, there's actually usually like five different pools.
Right.
And usually people aren't really sharing.
And about 10 people per pool.
No, they're not that busy. They're not the ones I went to. They weren't that busy. It's not, I mean, sometimes you sit with strangers, but for the most part, it's not that weird.
I saw that in Budapest of all places, though. But you and I are, I feel like, are more used to that because of our experience with the swim team, as we've discussed before.
Yeah, true.
It's just something that we would
I've taken hour-long showers with other men.
Yeah.
It's after practice. It's just, I mean, in bathing suits.
Sure.
Not naked, but like, it's, mm-hmm. You get to a point you don't care.
Yeah,
whatever.
Of course. Yeah.
Shave my body.
Natural.
All my body hair.
Naturally.
Apparently once.
I only did it once.
Twice.
Yeah, I was the only one to shave.
We should finish the punchline of this joke, though. When
What's
he opens
the joke?
Oh, yeah. When he opens up the window and he's naked and you see his balls.
Oh, right.
Yeah, the penis.
Yeah. The mass is just out there going, Messiah! Yeah, very funny
joke.
Like,
probably 100 people, at least.
Oh, yeah. And they're just following him around everywhere.
No, when they filmed it in front of 2,000.
Wow. That was not a prosthetic.
No. I mean, I certainly hope it wasn't.
They...
Because that's very little imagination for a creative group of people, you know? I mean, I would use a little more
ambition. Well, so when they filmed it initially,
yeah,
he opened it, and I think Cleese said to Chapman, yeah, this isn't believable because... Who played Brian?
Oh, Graham Chapman.
So it wasn't Chapman. It wasn't Cleese to Chapman. Cleese said to something... Yeah, we can't use that because Chapman is circumcised. And he's not supposed to be circumcised. So they put a rubber band on the end of his penis.
Oh.
To make believe that he was uncircumcised.
I did not pay attention to that level of detail.
And yeah. Who is paying attention to that level of detail?
Here's what I love about the logic of this movie. That a penis must remain uncircumcised in ancient Rome. However, they can all have British accents and speak English and just walk around as if that's normal.
There can be an alien save this guy from falling to his death.
The logic just does not hold
God
up at
forbid
all.
The penis is wrong.
Yes. Right. That's a...
Art.
Yeah, art, man.
I'm an artist.
The movie ends with an accidental crucifixion, which is the name of the new Hallmark movie.
Crucifixion? Yes. Good.
Good.
Good. Up the stairs, line on the left, one cross per person.
Brian gets crucified.
No, freedom.
Very good. That fucking asshole. It took me a second to figure out that it was the same guy as before who was just haggling everyone on.
Yeah.
Trying to get punched in the face.
Yeah.
And he's the one guy to not get crucified at the end.
That's so
yeah, because he pulled another... Classic practical joke.
Yeah. Pranked.
Pranked. Man.
So
Jesus should take some notes.
Oh.
All of these guys get crucified, including some civilians, some Jews, and others.
Samaritans.
Yes.
At least one Samaritan.
You're right, at least one.
Was he a good Samaritan?
Clearly not if he's being
Yeah, probably not the best.
I broke a law or two.
But literally the best person that's ever lived was crucified, though. So how can we really say that?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, literally the best guy.
But so were, like, a bunch of really bad guys.
I bet,
like,
yeah.
Probably a lot of rapists.
But doesn't it balance out for, like, literally the best person? Like, the shorthand for great person.
Right.
You know? Like, literally Christ himself.
Yeah.
I would say the track record.
Does that balance out, though? I mean, I don't know.
I think it
does. I feel like they crucified a lot of guys.
Well,
like, why does he get the symbol?
You know, I mean, I think the Bible says it 100% balances out. I think that's the whole point, is that it balances out.
Sure. No, I get that. But, like, why is the symbol of a cross, like, to me, well, not to me, but to me, if I was alive back then, I would think cross means...
Guido.
Rapists.
Guido.
Gold
murderers,
chain Guido.
You know, criminals, like, are... Or maybe not. I don't know. Maybe people were mostly unjustly put on the cross.
Sure. Do you think of that as the cross now, though?
No, I don't. But I'm saying, why does he get that symbol? I mean, there are plenty of other symbols, I feel like, that could be probably more nice.
Like, well, they also
no.
Whoa.
Hey, the swastika was not what we think of it now.
It was an Indian symbol for
also
hope.
Egyptian.
Yes, yes, but
Native American.
No.
No.
Indian.
No. No.
Indian.
No.
Indian. Indian. No.
Like, from India.
Okay.
Could you imagine if the Christian symbol was the swastika?
Well, Hitler wouldn't have used it, I don't think.
Yeah, no, I don't think that was his jam there.
Well, it was.
Anyway, we're not getting into this conversation. That's not where this is going right now, Adam. Keep your fucking mouth shut. What were we talking? Oh, yeah, okay, so they're all on the cross. Brian is sort of sacrificed. He's martyred, as they say.
Yes.
Sort of unwillingly.
Against his will, he is martyred.
However, he doesn't really push back on it too hard. I think he could have been a little more aggressive.
Doesn't really put up a fight.
Like, I don't want to be a martyr.
I blame it on the shock.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, even if he said, hey, I'm not going to do it, what are they going to do? They just leave him, though. Walk away. Fuck it.
No.
They already had the paperwork filed.
Yeah, you're not going to redo that paperwork. That's true.
True. And the film...
That's not a joke. They literally had the paperwork filed. Right. I'd like to make that clear.
And the film ultimately ends with a number of men crucified and awaiting their death, singing a jolly old tune, which I was quite familiar with because I love this song, but I did not know it was written for this particular instance. What a surprise when Always Look on the Bright Side of Life was sung by a chorus of the crucified.
Yep.
It was quite amusing, and I loved that ending, actually. It was my favorite part of the movie, as a matter of fact.
It's kind of beautiful.
Yeah.
I can't whistle, so...
Can you not whistle?
I cannot whistle.
Try. That was the most pathetic whistle I've ever heard.
I can't whistle.
Look at his mouth.
I sort of have a twin...
I know, his mouth's not doing anything close to the right
Well, no, because...
I didn't see it doing
The only thing close to a whistle I can do is sort of a tooth whistle, and that's what I'm doing.
Oh, okay.
If you actually want me to try a real
whistle...
Try
a real
whistle. Try...
I can't whistle. I don't know how to do it.
Tongue,
I don't know how to do it. Teach me.
Just like that. No.
That's not what I tried doing.
Put your tongue back in your mouth and just make like a...
What do you mean back?
It has to like press against your teeth like that.
Oh, mine doesn't.
Mine does, yeah.
Everybody whistles a little different too, is something I've learned. From all the years of people trying to teach me how to whistle, I've learned everybody does it a little different.
Splat. Okay, this is...
really I'm gonna learn.
Annoying podcast.
I'm gonna learn.
Okay.
I'm gonna come back and probably still not be able to do it, but I'm gonna learn.
All right, do your Rocky training sequence over the next week and learn how to whistle.
If I could whistle, I would whistle the Rocky theme right now, but I...
Oh, no!
He just punched his mic.
All right, that's a podcast. That's a podcast, okay? Here we go. We'll be back next week with better audio quality and a studio that is more
put together.
Yeah, more put together. We're going places, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be great. Why is this a thing? Rolls on in the near future. TooManyThoughtsMedia.com, TMT.media are the places you can find all of our shows. I've been doing a lot of the Nico shows. We've been doing movie hopping. It's a great time. And when are you going to do your stupid show?
What?
Your stupid show.
I'm pretty convinced we've abandoned all hope on that.
Oh, it's gone. It's dead.
No, it's gone. Yeah. It's
all right, just... backers, RIP.
It's all right. Hey, we tried.
The idea was there.
It's actually, what I'm a little disappointed by is that there aren't enough Kickstarter ideas out there.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. That's the disappointment. It's Kickstarter, I did not realize how dead it was.
Really?
It's really a dead place.
I think that bubble might have burst.
Yeah.
I think what happened is people started asking for too much money. Mm-hmm. Or not necessarily like individuals asking for too much money, but everybody wanted money.
There's just too much junk out there, too.
Yeah,
it's
that's
like,
true.
Remember the avocado walkie-talkies?
What?
It's a walkie-talkie that looks like an avocado.
The
walkie-talkie.
Walkie-talkies.
That's it, yeah. It's literally an avocado-shaped walkie-talkie. That's it.
Yeah.
And you can get different colors. And there was also my favorite, however, was a woman who wanted to create, you know how you go to like a Froyo place, right? And you get, you pick out your frozen yogurt, you pick out your toppings, and you make it yourself, and then you pay. She wanted to do that for coffee and tea. So you pick out your coffee beans, pick out your tea things, then you go up and you can add like, you know, your sugars and whatever, all that crap. And she wanted to call the place Bean Flicker. And I'm like, you can't be asking for money wanting to call the place Bean Flickers.
Wow.
You share it on Facebook. I just donated $25 to the Bean Flicker campaign.
It's like, Jesus.
Oh, what an idiot.
Well, I think her idea...
I'll tell you what. Some organization looking to bring vibrators to underdeveloped neighborhoods are
pissed at the name's taken.
I know, the trademark office, the patent office is just,
yeah. Can't do it.
I think her goal was, like, if I say something that's really controversial, it'll get more attention. But she wasn't controversial. It was just the name. It was, she almost did it too subtle. If you're going to be controversial, you got to be controversial.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Go for it. Yeah. Go for full-on clickbait.
I get that.
Yeah, right.
I know. See, we don't do that, though, on this show, because we're intellectuals.
We are.
Right. We're intellectuals.
If I had to pick one
only
word,
the highest form of discussion.
Yes.
Yeah. We're high art here. Next week, more Monty Python bullshit.
Yeah.
Avant-garde.
Yeah, it's a little...
Sorry, I'm still commenting in the last sentence.
Yeah. We should probably do a Valentine's Day show at some point, too.
Sure. Was there...
My Bloody Valentine, 3D.
Shut up.
3D? You want to do 3D?
How are we going to do 3D here?
3D glasses? We all have the red and blue glasses?
That's like, no, that's just the name of it.
Oh.
You don't have to see it in 3D.
Well, no. That's the point.
I know.
No.
I
haven't seen the original. Is there any Monty Python...
The original's good.
Is there any Monty Python Valentine's, like, sort of theme? Is there... I mean, come on.
Not a lot of women involved in the Monty Python stuff.
Plenty of women.
Yeah. They just play men.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Or get punched.
I could totally see Monty Python doing a sketch where a man's playing a woman and a woman's playing a man. They're having Valentine's Day. I could see that being a thing somewhere.
No, they might have done something along that line.
That sounds about right, yeah.
I don't think it was Valentine. I think they were, like, just had a date.
We'll do some research.
Yes.
Okay?
We will. And
we're doing research again.
Research
does
again.
That
all,
does that go well? I mean, I guess it kind of went well for the Gong Show, I guess.
Gong Show's good.
Yeah. Gong Show month. Chuck Barris month's also right around the corner.
We're doing it again.
Yeah, absolutely. Go Eagles, and until next time, you've all been naughty.
Adam's not too happy.
No.
Biggest dickus.
Naughty.
What was her line? He's not the Messiah. He's a very naughty boy. It's great. Good stuff. See you next time. Fucking assholes.
Okay.